This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
How do we move from fear to faith? That is our big question today. I want you to be thinking about that. What does it take to move from fear to faith? And as you consider that, I've got some smaller questions for you too. What does Thanksgiving look like this year for you? Is it different than you hoped? Different than you expected? I read an article that turkey producers are concerned that they were not able to anticipate the great need for little turkeys this year. And so they're worried that everybody is going to buy up all the little turkeys and there will be like this huge overabundance of the large turkeys because people this year are not expected to gather in large groups. You know, I live within an hour driving distance of all of my own family, my brothers and my parents. I'm not going to see any of them on Thursday. Does Thanksgiving look different to you this year than you expected or than you hoped? You know, last week we asked this question, what's your song for 2020? If there's a song that described your year, what's your song for 2020? And, you know, that's a question you could go kind of tongue-in-cheek and you could go funny. You could also get pretty serious, too, as we look at the struggles and challenges of this year. My father-in-law, he wrote a song called Goodbye 2020. It's funny. And it's a good laugh, but it takes a real look at what's happening and the struggles and challenges that we've faced this year. And I've talked with a few of you who, over this past week, were pretty honest about what your song has been through 2020. This year has forced us to confront the question, how do we respond to suffering, both great and small? And some of you have been honest enough to share with me that our tendency, we share this tendency to respond pretty negatively to suffering. And if we're honest, I think a lot of us are in that camp. You know, last week we focused in Habakkuk chapter 3, we focused on identifying how we respond to suffering, and then joining Habakkuk and asking God, Allah, verse 2 of chapter 3, God, we know it's coming and we fear it, but Lord, revive your work in us, in our midst, even as we suffer. Lord, revive your work. That was where we focused last week. And we stopped short of finishing chapter 3 so that we can unpack this idea that some of our suffering is actually the work of God in disciplining us. And the Lord's discipline, it's not one of those topics that will, like, you can write a best-selling book about these days. We wanted to press into this idea, and we explored Hebrews and saw that suffering because of God's discipline is actually good. It's proof that we belong to God. It's proof that He's treating us as His own children. It doesn't mean that we've been forsaken or that we've committed some sin that He's pushing us away. No, it actually means that in our sin, He cares to transform us and make us new. We belong to Him. It's proof that He loves us and is treating us like His children. Have you had the opportunity to consider this week how the Lord may be working His discipline in your life, even through the ways that you're suffering as a result of your own sin? You know, this week we get to finish the rest of Habakkuk chapter 3. I invite you to open up there. We're going to be in chapter 3 today. It is a good day to have your Bible open with us. And if you left last week struggling with this question of what's my song when I encounter suffering, what's my refrain, I've got good news for you this week. We are going to write a new song. If you left last week saying, golly, I am just a downer when it comes to encountering suffering, I fail to look in faith to the work of God, even in the midst of my suffering, we are going to write a new song, a new refrain as we unpack these final verses of Habakkuk 3. You know, in Scripture, we see patterns for how to pray, patterns for how to approach God. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, the last four verses, we see a pattern in prayer, even in song as it was originally written, of how to move from fear to faith. we're going to write a new song, and I'm excited about it. We are going to move from fear to faith, and that's where I want to invite you. If you've got this on your seat, or if you downloaded it and printed it out at home, it's this handout. If you're here in person with us, it should be on a chair near you or on your own, and there's two sides to it if you're in person. There's the back side that has Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19 written out, and then the front side, you'll see there's some text on here. It says, a Thanksgiving song of faith in the way of Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. And there are a couple of different sections and some blanks that you can fill in that we're going to fill in as we work through this. We're going to use this, and our hope is that this is a tool for us so that we can press into the unexpected joy that comes as we live a life that's more and more dependent upon Jesus. It's our mission. It's the heart of our faith. It's what makes following Jesus unique, is that we get to join in a long faith tradition that goes all the way back to the Israelites and Habakkuk, and even before this, of this joy that comes that's unexpected. And this tool can help us get there, because my guess is that as you sit around the Thanksgiving table, the things you were thankful for last year might be different than what you find to be thankful for this year. Let this be a tool for you and your family. And Zach alluded to this. We're going to do something. We don't do this very often, but as we walk through this together and we each write a new song, our own song, using this tool, we'll have the opportunity for several of you, if the Lord moves you in the Spirit, to come and share a testimony of faith in the way of Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. So we'll have an opportunity later on in our service that you can share if you'd like, for a few of us to share. We even have a way for those who are joining us online via the live stream. We'll have somebody here who will be your voice. If you'd like to share with us, you can type your song of faith in the comments. We've got somebody that'll share. So we're looking forward to that. More on that as we come, but we're going to walk through this together. Now, we want to get back to Habakkuk 3. If you remember Habakkuk 3, this is a song, and we unpacked how this is a song last week. It's a song in response to the coming suffering of the Babylonian invasion. God has said, hey, I'm going to raise up these awful people to come invade and conquer my chosen nation, and it's going to be rough. And I'm doing this in discipline because of the sin of the people of Judah. And this song is the people's response to God's coming work. And it was meant for the people to sing together. And the Babylonian invasion, it was going to mean a significant change. And if you look back, historians and archaeologists look back, people who follow the trends of faith through the Bible, this invasion that's coming, that's spoken of in Habakkuk, it marks a drastic change in the life of the people of Israel, in Judah in particular, because in what's going to happen, they're going to come in and they will destroy the temple. It will be decimated. Now, the temple for the people in the Old Testament, that was the place where God chose to make his presence dwell. So for them to lose the temple meant losing the very presence of God amongst them. It meant losing the place that was the center of their faith life, that where they came every, they gathered for worship. It was a big deal to lose the temple. They were going to see Jerusalem destroyed. Awful things would happen to the people. The Babylonians would come in and they would take a bunch of people and force them to relocate. But this destruction of the temple, keep this in mind as we walk through this song, this may be a song that they would have sung as the stones of the temple are being brought low. This destruction of the temple meant that there'd be a change to the way they practiced their faith that would never go back quite the same as it was before. A transition from the religion of Israel to the faith of Judaism that was focused more on the synagogues instead of the temple. And we see that still in place even today. There's no temple for the people who practice the faith of Judaism. There's no temple. Their life is focused in the synagogues. This is where that began. Last week we talked through some of the three stanzas or song verses you can find as you journey through chapter 3. And we unpack the refrain of verse 2. The people, they knew that God's work was coming. They said they fear it, and they prayed, Lord, revive it. Bring it here. They asked for God's work of discipline and justice, even if it meant that they would suffer. And in the final bridge, we see a parallel to this refrain of the song, verse 2. And so that brings us to chapter 3, verse 16. I hear and my body trembles. In this song, they describe what it means to fear this work of the Lord. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. You get the sense of what they might have felt like as the ground shook when the Babylonian war horses approached. There is fear. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. They are resigned to God's work, yet they still fear. Verse 17 marks the beginning of this movement from fear to faith. Look at verse 17 with me. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. Take a deep breath. They've just described an awful situation. If you're following along on here, we can look at the first set of blanks. This is an honest look at the challenges of their current circumstances. The first movement of their song from fear to faith starts with the word though. Though all of this suffering is coming. Though everywhere we look for sustenance and security, you know, this idea of famine that's unpacked in this verse here as it goes through, there's no food in the fields, there's no fruit on the vines, the flock is cut off from the fold, there's no herd in the stalls. This is how they passed wealth from one generation to another. This is how they survived in a difficult climate, was having all of this provision. And they see what's coming, and the way they move from fear to faith is they start with an honest look at the challenges that are before them. It looks hopeless. You know, in the church today, I feel like there's this sense that we can't be honest about the challenges that we face. People have this sense that if you're really following God, everything's going to be great. You'll be healthy and wealthy. And that's simply not what God's word promises us. The way we move from fear to faith is to take an honest assessment of our current circumstances and the challenges that we face. We see here in line 2, nor fruit beyond the vines. There is a long-standing picture, is this metaphor throughout the Old Testament, and we see it, Jesus employ this metaphor in John chapter 15 when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. There is this long-standing idea that the nation of Israel is like this grapevine. And so for him to declare there's no fruit on the vines, it's like a declaration that, hey, things look really, really bad. They look hopeless for us as a nation. That's the picture that would have been conjured. The picture is one of hopelessness and certain coming death. What are the challenges of your current circumstances? What are the fig trees in your life that you expected to find fruit on? What are the ways that the stalls where the flocks normally gather for care and safety, what are the ways those have been emptied? What are the challenges of your current circumstances? I want to invite you to grab this. And what we have here, if you go to the next page here, the next slide. You know, there's the word though, and then we've described what that word means. It's an honest look at the challenges of our current circumstances. And then there's a blank space for you to begin writing your song, your testimony. And here, this what's in the brackets tells you what to write in this blank space. Though my circumstances are full of these challenges, and I apologize for my handwriting. My mother and my first grade teacher are still embarrassed about this. Though my circumstances are full of these challenges, go ahead you've got permission from Scripture to take an honest assessment of the challenges of your current circumstances. I'm going to give you a minute right now. Take a moment and complete this verse of your song. Take out your pen. I'm going to work on mine. You can keep writing if you'd like. But this first movement from fear to faith begins with this word, though. For me, though I miss being with family and friends and mourn the loss of so much we have looked forward to celebrating this year, yet, there's verse 18. Look at verse 18 with me. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And this is the heart of moving from fear to faith. Yet, this is a place where we see the people and we get to join them as we declare and take joy in belonging to the Lord. We are declaring our joy, yet we will rejoice in the Lord, and we will take joy in belonging to the God of our salvation. This is a declaration that our circumstances don't have to determine our actions, our response. You know, they've just laid out in the previous verse a pretty hopeless picture, and then this word, yet. Yet I declare. And I take joy in belonging to the Lord. Look at this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. You know, there are many things that we tend to take when we face suffering and hopelessness in our circumstances. What are the things you reach for when it looks hopeless? Do you reach for something to just distract you from the challenges that you face? You reach for Netflix? You reach for a cigarette or a bottle? Or maybe you reach for your computer and you pull up your bank accounts. You check your nest egg. Make sure that you've still got money in the bank. Maybe you reach for an even worse kind of distraction. You distract yourself with pornography or drugs. Maybe you're like me. And you distract yourself with food. That's where I tend to reach instead of taking joy. Look at how they describe this. Yet, despite all these circumstances, I will rejoice, not in the circumstances, but in the Lord. You can't rejoice sitting down like we are in here. We can't rejoice in this posture. This is like an action. You've got to stand up to rejoice. I will take joy. I will look at everything that's before me, these circumstances that seem so hopeless, and instead of reaching for these circumstances, I will take joy. From where? From belonging to the God of our salvation. You know, we have a tendency to submit our joy to our circumstances instead of submitting our circumstances to the God of our salvation. That's our tendency when we face challenges. Here, the song celebrates a joy that comes from belonging to the Lord. Whenever the Old Testament talks about the God of their salvation, they're referring to this special relationship with God. It's beautiful. And this is where, if we go back to verse 2 in chapter 3, I kind of gave you a little teaser this week. My very favorite Old Testament word is this word mercy. It's very closely related to the word compassion in the Hebrew. And this is the refrain of the song that is chapter 3. And we see here, in the midst of the years, make it known, make your work known. In wrath, remember, wrath is an expression of God's justice. God, as you work out your justice in wrath, remember mercy. Remember, you belong to us. We belong to you. This word mercy, the Hebrew word for mercy, it comes from the Hebrew root that means womb. It's like talking about a uterus. There's no greater, more intimate word that you could use to describe belonging than the kind of belonging that happens when a mother grows a human being in her womb. This is the word that God uses to describe his mercy. This is the concept that's behind this Hebrew sense of this of mercy and compassion. And this is what the people were tapping into. This is where they reached when they needed to reach for joy. They didn't look to their circumstances. They didn't look to numb or distract themselves. No, they turned to God and said, "We know that we belong to you. Lord, show us your mercy. You are the God of our salvation. Lord, you will grow us and develop us in your mercy." It's this beautiful, intimate picture of belonging. That is where our joy comes from. My friends, if you were looking for joy in this world, you might find it for a brief, fleeting moment, but the stock market will crash. You'll get tired of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and distractions. You'll watch everything on Netflix and there will be nothing left to see. And it will leave you disappointed. The only place you and I can find joy is in belonging to the Lord. Do you belong to the Lord today? Is that where you're reaching to take joy as you anticipate maybe a small, quiet gathering on Thursday? And a little turkey. Are you taking joy in the Lord? You know, the New Testament describes the presence of God, of belonging to God. When we belong to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus even promises that he'd send his Spirit to dwell within us, that we would know we belong to him because his very presence would live, that you and I would be temples for God's Holy Spirit. This is the kind of joy that nobody expects to see in 2020. And this is the kind of joy that God has promised to you and to me. Are you going to reach out and take it, or are you going to reach for something less? This is the joy that will move us from fear to faith. I want you to take a moment to complete this verse of your song. Though your circumstances are difficult, yet, and then I want you in your own words to write a declaration of taking joy in belonging to the Lord. And if you can't find your own words, you can use verse 18. You can write verse 18 in this space, but take a moment to write this verse of your song. You can keep writing if you'd like. Though our circumstances look hopeless, yet we will take joy in the Lord because, verse 19, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. There was a report of a large deer, a buck, in our parking lot this morning. I thought that was pretty cool. I heard that. I just wanted to share that. I thought it was encouraging as we look at this verse and read this verse together. This song ends, it lands in a place of faith because we can rest in a testimony of God's promises and work. We can rest in a testimony of God's promises and work. Now remember, the song here, the refrain back in verse 16 is just described this fear that is all the way down deep in the bones of the people who were singing. And so verse 19 is a declaration of a promise they're trusting in. And a declaration of trust and rest in the work of God, even in the midst of awful circumstances. A testimony of God's promises and work. What promises of God's do you need to lean into today? God, the Lord is my strength. This is where we land to move from fear to faith. I want to share some of the promises of God with you. And I'm going to put a bunch of references up. I'm going to read a few of these references right now. And I just want to encourage you, either write down some references as you need to hold on to a promise of God, or snap a picture, or close your eyes and listen to God's word. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall never depart from you. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The words of Jesus. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, a promise for the people who have been displaced in Babylon. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. James 1, 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Which promises of God do you need to rest in this week? This Thanksgiving? This year? Which promises of God do you need to learn to burn into your memory and your heart so that when you face the challenges that are coming and the challenges that are already here, you can rest in the work and the promise of God? You know, here we've taken an honest look at the challenges of our circumstances. We've declared and taken joy in belonging to the Lord, and now it's time to rest in these promises of God. Take a moment and complete this final verse of your song. All right. You can keep writing if you'd like, but take a look at what you've completed on your sheet. Take a look at this song. We see this pattern of prayer in Habakkuk that moves from fear to acknowledging and taking an honest look at the challenges and the circumstances that they faced. Though the fig tree should not blossom nor fruit be on the vines, though it looks hopeless, yet, the next movement, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, take joy in the God of my salvation. And then finally, we rest in the work of God. Though yet God will strengthen me and help me. Isaiah 41:10, that's my verse. I want you to take a look at this. I'd like for us, I'm going to invite the worship team, if you guys are willing to come on up. We want to have an opportunity for us as a church to encourage one another with these testimonies of faith. And maybe you don't feel comfortable sharing, and that's okay. Hopefully this is a tool that can bless you and your family this Thanksgiving. But maybe right now you would like to share your song of faith. Don't worry, you don't have to sing it. You can come and share. We've got a couple of microphones, and the worship team is going to begin playing. And if there are a couple of people who would be willing to share their song of faith with us, this testimony of God's work, I want to invite you to share these three movements. I want to invite you to share the challenges of your current circumstances, how you are declaring and taking joy in the Lord, and a testimony of God's promises and work even now. I want to invite you to do that. And I'll share mine with you so you can get a sense of what we're looking for as the worship team sets up. This will be a moment of worship, and this is outside of what we normally do. So I invite you to participate in the spirit of prayer, either from your seat, or if you're joining us in the foyer or the fireside room and you would like to share what's on your card, you can come on in and come to one of these two microphones. And if any of you online would like to share your song of faith, your testimony of faith in God's work, you can share that online. We've got somebody who's ready to share something from our folks who are joining us online. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we need you. Lord, I ask that you would fill this place with your presence. As we face challenges that we could never have anticipated even just a year ago, Lord, we need your presence here. Father, I lift up this time that we have, and I pray that we could press into your work for your people. So, Lord, hear our testimonies of faith, our songs of faith. Just as you are faithful to your people that we read about in Habakkuk, Lord, be faithful to us today. Hear our prayers. And I'll start by sharing mine. Though I miss being with family and friends and mourn the loss of so much that we looked forward to celebrating this year, yet I will not reach for empty pleasures and fruitless circumstances. I will take joy that I belong to my Heavenly Father. God will strengthen me and help me. Isaiah 41:10.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.